Hey there, welcome to this episode of What's the Truth? My name is Jessica Hoddle. I'm your host, and today we're tackling lie number 33, which is all about people are transactional. You're listening to the What's the Truth podcast with me, Jessica Hoddle. I'm a number one best-selling author, wife, and coach. I refuse to let you keep believing the lies that are coming at you from every direction. Every week, I'll speak truth, bring encouragement, and inspire you as I uncover the lies you may believe to be true about your life. Each episode is meant to challenge the way you think to change the way you live. I have a special guest today. Her name is Blake. You might know her on social media as the girl named Blake. And her passion is really about dismantling the hustle culture because she lived in it. And she shares her testimony, how it really broke down her body, this need to strive, the need to create, the need to produce, and really just be the owner of your finances, and how it the hustle culture really just can make us feel weary when we make it all about us instead of the one that gets the glory. We make it about us getting the glory. We dive deep into this conversation about recognizing if you're in the hustle culture, how to get out of the hustle culture and in this mindset of it. And I'm really excited for you to hear her story, how she's overcome it, how she lives through the kingdom now and not through the kingdom of this world. And I think it's important that we begin to understand it's not about striving. It's not about killing yourself to create a result, but that we get to rest in the one who is in charge of the gain and in charge of the growth, that we get to steward our gifts well. And we talk about that as well. So let's go ahead and just pop right on over to the interview. Blake, I am so excited for everybody to hear your story. I feel like we can relate from the hustle culture, but I know that speaking this truth has grown a platform. Not that the platform's important, but it shows us that this idea of hustle is exhausting a lot of people. It has been a platform and an area for you to speak truth, a lot of truth to people, to demolish lies that they believed for a long time about who they thought they had to be, what they thought they had to do to be quote unquote successful. Mm-hmm. And Blake, I would love for everybody to hear, why is this lie that people are transactional in this hustle culture? Why does it get you so fired up?
Yeah, so I have a unique, which you do as well, but I have a unique perspective on the hustle culture in that I did it. Mm-hmm. I drank the Kool-Aid. I read the books. I was on the book launch teams. I went to the conferences. I spent the money. I did the things. I ran my body into the ground, and I also ran my relationships into the ground. So talking about people are not transactional gets me fired up, because I, in some form or fashion, whether subconsciously or consciously, believed that and treated people that way and was treated that way, right? You learn from what you're dealt. And so a lot of it was that feeling of, oh, this friendship is for your benefit, for what you can get out of it. And instead of staying rooted in what I knew, because I knew Jesus the whole time I was in hustle culture, instead of staying rooted in what I know and knew about community and about putting others before myself, I adapted that mentality and that way of having relationships, and then experienced the fallout of that and had to go back and apologize to people, which is, that's so fun. And relearn how to be in relationships with people without expecting anything out of it, you know? And so now I would say I get really passionate about it because it was such a thing then. I can spot it a mile away. Mm. So I can see it. I see it coming. I see it in wrapped up in Jesus and wrapped up in love, but really they're just, it's a transaction, and it frustrates me because I know what both sides of that feel like.
Now, I think that it's a subtle change sometimes, and I don't think we notice it, right? Tell us about those subtle moments over time and how they compound. What are some of the lies even inside of this lie in that hustle culture to maybe get other women? I work with a lot of women, so probably a lot of women listen to this podcast, to even begin to question, like, okay, am I in the hustle culture or am I living for Jesus? And I think that sometimes we can go, again, we talked about this on your podcast, is we can swing one way or the other, where we're like false humility, right? Mm-hmm. Or we make it all about ourselves. Tell us about that, those lies, and kind of how to recognize them.
So I guess if we're looking at recognizing them in ourselves, so the way that I explain to people, I've had to learn how to really simplify, are you hustling or not? And it essentially comes down to the question of who gets the glory. Mm. Who gets the glory? Are you working and using your gifts and doing the things that you are good at to further the kingdom or to further your own kingdom? Are you building your own empire, or are you adding to God's numbers? And that, the honest answer to that, because obviously the knee-jerk Sunday school answer is, yes, I'm working for God. That's this all for him. But I think if you really think about it, you really are willing to get honest with maybe some ugly parts of yourself, which is so hard. But if I think that there are a lot of people that the honest answer to that is, well, no, I'm working for Instagram followers and dollar signs and accolades. And the rest of the stuff is trickle down from that. So if you are in that mindset where everything is, in turn, everything becomes transactional and becomes a way to add to whatever those assets, whether, you know, there are some people where it's all dollar signs, there are some people where it's all Instagram followers, or it's all of them, you know, but are you, you know, in the most, you simplify that and strip it all the way down, it's, are you DMing this person because you actually care, or because you hope they'll give you a leg up, or they'll follow you, you know, like the ins and outs of that stuff? Are you telling this person about this XYZ because you hope they'll buy it and then you'll make money, or because you believe in it and it changed your life and you want that for other people? You know, it's really boils down to intention and whose kingdom you're building, I would say.
That's good. I was really hurt by a couple people, and one in particular, she's works with a higher end mastermind person, and she just hurt me because I thought we were friends. Mm. We were always, I was always promoting her, helping her in any way that I could because I believed in her. But when I wasn't moving at the pace as her, or when she decided to go up to the $1 million mark, which there's nothing wrong with that, I all of a sudden was non-existent. And I'll tell you, it took me like 2 years to kind of, because it was the compound. Mm-hmm. And I think that I love that question, who gets the glory? But tell us about the actual fruit of it. Because I think that people can still even get caught up in, yes, I'm giving him the glory. And I think that it's important too, that we can say it's for God's kingdom, but what fruit then does that look like if we're in the hustle, mm-hmm, or in the kingdom?
Yeah. So I would say, man, it's hard because at this point I feel like I'm hypersensitive to when I can tell that I have become a transaction to someone. I'm sure that you experience this, having a few thousand followers on Instagram, you instantly become more attractive. People want to be your friend, they want to tell you about their things, and that in its own right can be interesting to navigate because you're basically putting your stamp on things and you're saying that you endorse this. But then, I mean, there's also a sense to that of, I mean, does anybody want to talk to me just for me and not for the potential of being exposed to the people that follow me on Instagram? But I will never forget seeing oh god, it was the grodiest thing I've ever seen. This girl talking about how she has a flow chart essentially for how she DMs people to sell them and puts them in an Excel chart. And I was just like, this is such a problem. And she was bragging about it. I mean, she was just explaining how to do it to teach other people how to do this thing. And I wanted to shake her, because if you are DMing someone with the intention of putting them in an Excel sheet, you have turned them into a transaction. And not only have you turned them into a transaction, but you are selling it as, I mean, she's telling you, she's giving you a script, telling you how to sell it like you care. Mm. And that's why nobody trusts anybody anymore. Yeah. And that's why, you know, everybody is burnt out on multi-level marketing and being sold on things all of the time, because nobody is capable. Intentional connection through social media is possible. Mm-hmm. It is 100,000% possible. I met my best friend, ride or die, on the internet. Mm-hmm. It's possible. And now we function, she's a podcaster, we are in the same realm, and we don't compete with one another, and we encourage one another, we cheer each other on. That is proof that that stuff is possible, but you got to stop putting people in Excel sheets. Yeah. Or you are never going to experience that. Mm-hmm. And that's sad.
Yeah. I think something I wrote down when you were talking is, when we think of a fruit of the kingdom, is there's somewhere, it's in the Gospels, and it's talking about the teacher is never above the student, but the student leaves knowing basically what the teacher knows, mm-hmm. meaning that the teacher discipled his student well, leaving him even better off. And I think when we think about the kingdom, and are we working for the kingdom, is, do we leave people better off even if they don't buy our product?
Amen.
Would you agree with that?
Amen. I think about, there's a verse in Acts. I think it's Acts 20 that talks about, I consider my life no value to myself. And it literally says, my purpose is to finish the race, or finish the course and the ministry. Do you believe that? Do you believe that your life is of no value to yourself, and that your purpose is to finish the race well? And what does finishing the race well look like to you? Mm-hmm. And I think that that question would be difficult for some people to answer. You know, there's that quote that's like, I want to skid into the grave, used up, and just completely maxed out capacity for the kingdom. And that's how I feel. That looks like using your gifts and doing the things that you're good at. Mm. So, and telling people about the things that you believe in. I'm really passionate about, like, using clean products, right? We use essential oils. We use that kind of stuff. But it's because I've seen the benefits that it did for my family. And to be fair, I don't sell any of it, because I don't have the time, but I talk about those things because I believe in them, because of the benefit that they had for my family. And there are so many women that I know that do sell Young Living or whatever, that do it really well because of that, because their intention, their goal is to finish the race well. And to them, for them and for their lives, finishing the race well means educating people about this stuff.
Yeah.
Those are the people that you encounter and you learn from, and they're not trying to sell you, and then you end up buying their stuff.
Mm. Yeah.
Right? And so I think that that is really what it boils down to for me, is that it is difficult to view people as a transaction if your life is of no value anyway. And then that sounds self-depreciating. Obviously, there's so much value to our lives, but if the point is to finish the race well, then all you want to do is link arms with people and take them with you.
Yeah. I would love for you to talk about, I love kind of this example that God is the owner, we are the stewards. So mm-hmm. you get to steward your children well. You get to run the race well with your husband. He's not your husband in quotations, but you get to be kind to him and love him, right? How I think of this in relation to the hustle culture, that we often think our businesses are, so we have to take care of it. We have to make the money, because that was me, right? You know, coming from mm-hmm. the background that I have, is I got to make the money, honey. And mm-hmm. it was just out of fear and this, I got to be the best. And I want my, cause I don't know if you know, but I'm actually a partner with Beachbody. I've been a Beachbody coach for 10 years.
There you go.
And I have a fitness account. So, but it's all gospel centered. And, right. and so therefore I think we want to please people. We want to have all the ranks and all that stuff. So I think even talking about the stewardship of our gifts mm-hmm. inside mm-hmm. of that hustle culture theme, and really who the owner is and what that looks like. Can you address that?
Yeah. I think that the issue with hustle culture and our gifts is that hustle culture doesn't want you to use your gifts. Mm. Hustle culture wants you to make money and get followers however you need to. And gosh, I don't even know if that's the truth, because the top of hustle culture wants you to make them money and bring them followers, because that's a whole different conversation of the hustle culture, is how self-centric it is. But I don't think that the hustle culture wants you to use your gifts. I think that when I broke, so, okay, some backstory for me. When I was, hustle culture was at its peak for me in 2018, early 2018. And I had a wedding planning business, and that was also like simultaneously a graphic design business. I'm not really sure how that worked still retrospectively. And had two kids under three and ended up in adrenal failure from just doing all of the things and going 100 miles an hour all of the time. And that was really my wake up call to hustle culture. And towards the end of my time within that movement was when I started trying to build a platform. And I mean, I can remember being on a walk with a friend and it's so gross, but literally saying the words, I think I want to be an influencer, because that's what hustle culture tells you that you're supposed to want to be. That is it. That is the goal. That is the dream, is fame. And so I started churning out content and trying, and I had under 1,000 followers at the time, 900 something. And so get to the end of 2018, I launched my podcast, and in line with launching the podcast, I got really wrenched away. And I mean, wrenched away my desire for fame. He kind of stripped it away painfully. I realized, and I really kind of landed in a place where it was, that wasn't going to happen. That just wasn't in the cards. I'm going to have this little podcast that'll help me feel like I have a voice and have a space to share the things that God is teaching me. And so I close out the year with under 1,000 followers on Instagram, and then it exploded. It exploded, and I grew over 9,000 followers in a year. Started the year at under 2,000, ended the year at like 10.5, because I was actually using my gifts. I wasn't trying to be something that I wasn't. I wasn't trying to fit a mold. I was using and stewarding my gifts well, which for me are talking and talking about things that people don't necessarily want to talk about or they're not comfortable talking about, and pushing boundaries and cheering people on. When I stepped into the things that God actually created me to do was when all of those things flourished. And there's a risk of that sounding prosperity gospel, and I want to make sure that it doesn't come across that way. You using your gifts is not always going to equal success the way that the world defines success, mm-hmm. but it will always, I will say the word always, result in success within the kingdom.
Yeah. I don't think prosper is a bad word. I think we've made prosper a bad word. And I know you've addressed that a lot. I think he wants us to live the abundant life, and abundant life looks good in a lot of different areas. And I think a lot of that's heart posture, the way we live and all of that. And kind of going back to the whole hustle culture of what you were just talking about, I started thinking about when I was in that, this whole idea of follow me and I'll give you all the systems to make it happen. And it was, and it's this idea, and if you can't tell you're in the hustle culture, you're always chasing the next best thing to get the most customers. So I was chasing webinars. I'm like, what am I doing a webinar for? Why am I having a member community when I really don't want to do it? I'm using my gifts, but I was exhausted at the same time. I was like, this isn't producing. I was losing money, but I was trying to make it work. All of these things. And I think that it's important that it's always that chasing that next best thing.
Yes.
You were talking about pivotal moment. Do you care to share? Like when you said God was like stripping you away. What does that look like? And did something happen, or was it something said to you that kind of was like, boop, this isn't right? Was it like the Holy Spirit was like, this is what I'm telling you? Like what happened so that maybe other people can be like, okay.
Yeah. So I went to, okay. Are you okay with me saying I went to Rise and like talking about that part of it?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So I went to Rise in LA, which is Rachel Hollis's big conference. And immediately when I walked through the doors, I had a check. It's the most, that's the most Christianese term, but I had this check in my spirit of, ooh, I don't, something doesn't feel right. I don't like this. And the friend that I was with, I said, oh, this feels weird. I don't know what this is. I was so excited to be there. I was all in on Rachel Hollis at the time. And I ended up during, I think the first keynote, walking out of the theater and kind of sitting in this courtyard area and really struggling with, which it's hilarious because you and I just interviewed about how I'm terrible at processing my own emotions, but actually gave myself the space to what is happening? What am I feeling? And it was this sense of striving and chasing and honestly desperation. I mean, it felt like there was desperation in the air that you could cut with a knife, just grappling for the next thing that was palpable for me. And so that was the beginning, which is really funny that it started at a hustle culture conference. So 2 months after that, I get the official Addison's disease diagnosis where my adrenals no longer work. I need hormones. I need steroids. I need injections, all of those kinds of things. That's June. At that point, I start praying to start a podcast and God tells me no. Outright, bald face, nope, you're not ready. You do not need to be talking to more than like five people right now. And I think that was the beginning of the stripping away of self, because that desire for to start a podcast, which sounds so simple and basic, which it is, that was in there. Once that revealed itself, it was in there. It took stripping away the layers of self that were on top of it. You know, so I pull God and the Holy Spirit and myself, kind of this joint effort, pull away the layer of, do you want to start a podcast for the exposure?
Yeah.
Do you want to start a podcast for the connections?
That's true. And I think, not to cut you off, but I think what you're saying right now, people need to pay attention to, because that is the process. Because you were like, okay, I want a podcast for exposure. So it's being willing to ask yourself, what do you want this for? Okay, sorry.
Exactly. No. I mean, you're so right. And what was beautiful about going through that, and that process is painful, coming face to face with this really kind of gross, self-centered part of yourself is a difficult mirror to look in. But what I was able to do as those layers lifted was this really beautiful desire, and kind of the ultimate tagline of the podcast, which is, you know, to let people know that they're not alone, and to boast in my weaknesses so that God's power may be made perfect. Pulling all of the self-centric layers off of it allowed that to reveal itself. You know, God and myself kind of coming around to, okay, yeah, there's a little bit of me that wants to start it for the exposure and for the fame and for the followers and for the money and for the opportunity to just get to listen to myself talk. Ultimately, was left with this really great foundation of, no, if you take all of that away, I still do want to do this thing. and I want to do it because it's what I feel like I'm good at, and I want to give God the glory.
Mm.
And so moving into launching the podcast with a small platform, with, I talk about this all the time on my Instagram and stuff. I got so many no's, and I know you have probably experienced that too. I had under 2,000 followers on Instagram. People didn't want to come on my podcast because they weren't going to get exposure from it, because my press kit wasn't big enough. It wasn't impressive enough. And that's, I don't hold any bitterness for that. That's the world that we live in, even with believers. But the no's didn't really hurt that bad, because I knew why I was doing what I was doing. And so, yeah, I would say that that was really the process. God used this desire to start a podcast, Confessions of a Crappy Christian, to really kind of pull away my immersion in hustle culture.
Mm, I love that. I want to say it's beautiful, even though it's sometimes painful. And I think that it doesn't matter if it's at a Rise conference or anything. I've felt many times those Christianese, like, I gotta check, why is this something, you know, not right, at many business conferences, because I'm very driven person. You don't have to ever tell me to work. Like, I'm a girl that will show up regardless. So, like, I'm a girl at work. Yep. So when I go to a conference, it's like, okay, what about, oh, I got to start a CRM. I got to, like, everything, I'm ready. And so in those conferences, sometimes I'm like, I have like so many things. I'm more overwhelmed going in the conference itself than I was coming out. And now coming out of that, I'm able to say, I don't need this right now. I'm not working on webinars. I don't really need to, like, cause I only focus now on, if I'm not doing webinars, I don't listen to podcasts regarding webinars. I don't listen to anything regarding that. And you're talking about small followers. I made a promise myself. I was like, Jess, you will interview people that have 800 followers. And here's what I look for. I always look, do they love their audience? Meaning, do they have engagement on their audience, and are they loving them back? Because if so, I want to know them. Mm-hmm. Because I don't care if you have 2,800, you know, whatever. If your people love you and your people love you, then...
You can't see it, but I'm literally fist pumping in the air right now. Like, that is, so I have a note in my phone. This is kind of embarrassing. I don't think I've ever talked about this publicly, but before I started the podcast, I wrote a note in my phone that says, it's literally called the If I Blow Up list. If this blows up, if this gets big. And one of them was, I will interview people no matter how many followers they have, and I will go on other people's shows no matter how many followers or listeners they have. And so I vary, and I don't say that to sound like, look at me, look how.
No, it's not. I said the same thing.
Yeah. Like, I block time out in my schedule, like, just in case somebody with a quote unquote smaller podcast wants to have me on.
Like, and I did today. Yes,
shut up. Oh my gosh.
I did today that I did. I was like, hey, can you come on my podcast today? That's kind of funny. Cause I just launched in January. So.
Well, but like you said, if I look back at the women who said yes, when my show was a baby and it wasn't even off the ground yet. Right. Cause you have to interview before you can launch interviews. And the women that said yes, that do have quote unquote, like, bigger followings, I mean, they are etched in my soul that they said yes, that they looked at me and they believed in me. And I love the opportunity to do that for other people. Yeah. Also, this is going to sound a little bit, I'm trying to think of the word. This is going to make sound like I really think I'm great, but this is actually one of my favorite things about myself. I literally don't give a crap how many followers you have. Mm-hmm. I don't care. And I don't care how many followers I have either.
Yeah.
That allows me to have a really great relationship with my phone and a really great relationship with Instagram. Mm-hmm. When I get a really hateful DM, it doesn't rock me.
Yeah.
Because my worth is not placed in what people and strangers on the internet think of me.
Mm.
And it allows me to extend the same to other people and say, oh, you launched your podcast a week ago, you don't even have a press kit. Where do I schedule?
Yeah.
Let's go. Let's do this. You know what I mean?
I'm like laughing at the press kit. I'm not even joking. This is what I wrote down today. It is create a speaker form page, which is the press kit. I wrote that down today. I was like, I keep seeing people having this, and I'm like, I don't even have one of those. I'm like, people
I didn't even ask for one. I don't need one. Let's go.
I was like, And I think that just proves that everything works so differently for everybody. You know, it always talks in the scripture about unity. And I think unity means that we have to agree on everything and do everything, but it's really not. And I'm always challenging myself of how can I love well in unity, even if we don't see eye to eye on certain things. Amen. And that's powerful for me right now, because we might have different views on scripture or be in different revelations of scripture, but how can we still stay in unity, you know, in what that talks about. But so as we wrap up here, kind of, we have two more things. I want you to speak truth to the lie. I want you to call out any women that might be feeling weary, that might be swept up, feeling not understood, or just feeling tired and afraid to leave. Cause that's a, you know, scary feeling.
I just hit my funny bone. I'm really glad I didn't curse for your podcast just now. I just hit my funny bone so hard.
No, it's okay.
The way that I encourage women who that, first of all, that realization that you have gotten caught up in the hustle is difficult. It is a difficult realization to come to. And there are a lot of people who are half awake, halfway realize that what they're in and what they're doing and what they're believing and what they're selling doesn't feel right, but it's too difficult to wake up. It's too difficult to leave. And I will tell you that the freedom that lives on the other side is 100 times better than the best part of the hustle. The hustle pretends to give you community. It pretends to give you, it pretends to encourage you to run in your gifts. It pretends that it has all of the answers. But the reality is that the community is pretend, that the, by and large, that's not necessarily a fair, like that's an over assumption, but I think that if people were really honest, they are viewing people as transactional. It doesn't encourage you to run in your gifts. It encourages you to do the next thing that will make the dollars or bring the people. And it's so self-centric. And let me just tell you that life is so much better when it's not about you. It's so much better. And I think that there are people out there that are in the hustle that are grappling and grinding because they think it's going to be what finally makes them feel okay. And I think people get to this threshold and they think that this is it, and they find that they don't feel okay. And it's, oh, because it's the next one. It's the next tier. It's the next rank. It's the next dollar sign. That is never going to fulfill you. The only thing that can do that is Jesus. And the great news is that Jesus doesn't want anything from you. Jesus does not need you to bring your to-do list. He does not need you to bring your bank account. He doesn't need you to bring your Instagram followers. He needs you to bring yourself, hit your knees, admit that you can't do it yourself, that you believe that he did, and trust him with your life. And that does not mean that now, like, the Christian life is easy. It does not mean that now nothing is ever going to be difficult. It doesn't mean, but what it does mean is that he shoulders those things alongside you, that he is yoked in next to you. He carries your burdens with you. There's a his burden is light because he shoulders more than his part of it. The hustle cannot give you those things.
Yeah.
It straight up can't. It puts all the weight on your shoulders and it drives you forward. And Jesus is saying, like, come to me, those of you who are weary and heavy laden, which is so many of us, we're so freaking tired.
Yeah.
Come to me and I will give you rest. Real rest. Not zoning out, not numbing out, not, you know, binge watching Netflix, not drinking too much. I will give you real soul rest because My burden is light and my yoke is easy. There is nothing more beautiful than that.
Yeah.
And the hustle can't give you that.
Mm, that's good. I love, you know, you just think of the weariness that so many of us feel. And we often just, well, scripture tells us not to grow weary in doing good. And I think that when we're created for good works, right? Isn't that what he tells us? And I think that just speaking this truth, Blake, to people, I mean, because when I follow you, you know, go on your Instagram stories, I'm always like, yeah, mm-hmm. And I loved when you shared the story of your timeline of your health, because I related to that so much. And there was a lot that went into that. And I just want to encourage your heart that I think you're sending a lot of people free in that, you know, of this idea that you don't have to have the hustle culture thing to advance the kingdom, in a sense of you can still do good works and impact people, because he's the one that grows it. And once I started taking myself out of the growing part and I just started planting and watering, you know, because Paul talks about that when the Corinthians were like, hey, we're just following Apollos. Are we supposed to be following you? Like, you're the dude. And he's like, no, I might plant it. Apollos might water it, but God grows it. And when we think about that, like sometimes I'm sure you do this, like, God, Jesus, come on. Like, you need to multiply my efforts today. And I will trust that he will do that. And I think that is just a beautiful example. So I want to close this out by asking you this question. I like to ask the question for guests is, what lie has the enemy been throwing at you? Doesn't have to do anything with the podcast theme. What lie are you believing now? Not necessarily believe in taking hold of, but is the enemy throwing at you, and what truth have you been countering it with?
You know, I work in communications at a local church. And let me just tell you that it all hit the fan when we had to go completely digital. And my job went from a full-time 40-hour-a-week job to a full-time 70-hour-a-week job. And I have been busting my butt for the last 8 weeks. And things are starting to slow down, which is really great. But it's hysterical because I just talked for 30 minutes about hustle culture and am realizing that I was putting a lot of worth, self-worth, into how good I am at my job and the things that I was able to turn out and how valuable I was to the church. And so now as things are beginning to slow down and shift, I've found a little bit of, oh, they don't need you anymore. Oh, you're not going to be as important because things are changing. And thankfully, considering that this horse is the horse that I beat to death on my own Instagram all of the time, I am able to preach to myself and say, you may become less important in the cog, the turning cog of this church, but that does not, it doesn't impact your worth. It doesn't impact your worth to the kingdom. It doesn't impact your worth to the church. You just may not be the front runner. And that's a good thing, because you need a nap.
Amen to that. That's good. I love that. Thanks for sharing that. I always love the truths or the lies, because it's so unpopular, but I think it helps us relate. It's, oh my gosh, there's so many things that are thrown at us all the time that we're working through. It makes us human. It makes us relatable. But I love the truth, because then it tells us that we can express our pain in the lies, but we're not called to stay there. Amen. And I think that's important. So Blake, share with everybody where you want them to go to find you.
Yeah. So I am on Instagram at The Girl Named Blake. And then my podcast is Confessions of a Crappy Christian, which you can find anywhere that you're listening to this. And yeah, that's pretty much the places I hang out.
I'll have them in the show notes below. So thanks so much for coming on, Blake. I'm so thankful for you.
Thank you for having me, Jess. This was great.
P.S. One more thing. If you've ever felt like you weren't good enough, smart enough, pretty enough, thin enough, strong enough, worthy enough, or doing enough, then my best-selling book, Know Your Worth, is for you. If you knew what you were worth, would you settle for anything less? It's not uncommon to feel inadequate, whether it's issues surrounding your career, your body, relationships, or your finances. You will discover gems to apply in your own life as I take you through my own journey of how I was able to overcome the unthinkable by realizing my worth wasn't tied in the things or people, but to God. In this book, I really walk you through the how-to of stop settling for relationships that do nothing but cause you pain. Find the tools you need to be successful in life. Realize you are beautiful just the way you are. Refuse to settle for anything less than what's God's best for your life. And recognize that no matter what your past looks like, it doesn't have to be your future.